I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Looking at our attendance this evening, all of the board members were present, with the exception of Mr. Hartman, who was detained by some travel delays. Should point out that prior to tonight's session, the school board met an executive session to discuss the student expulsion and a couple real estate tax appeal issues and personnel matters. Start with the approval of our agenda for this evening. Entertain a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as it is.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All those in favor of approval of the agenda as presented indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. And now is the first of two opportunities for public comment. Any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come to the microphone and state your name and address and make your brief comment. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to a special presentation by the high school and Dr. Fletcher.
Well, good evening. Happy New Year to those of you that I haven't seen. If you made New Year's resolutions, I hope you're still going strong. There's been a lot more salads at our table in the high school, so we're still keeping at it. Tonight, I'd like to talk, I'm excited to talk to you about the parent roundtable transition. A little history. I meet monthly with a group of dedicated, committed parents that are willing to come out at 7 o'clock. It's still dark most mornings, it's cold. But they make the trek to the high school. We meet in the high school conference room. We get together. They bring up items. I share some things that are coming up. It's been a good, productive use of our time, but I do want to make some changes. There's been a series of conversations that I've had over the past few months, a series of personal experiences, school experiences that I reflected on really over the holiday break, and I came back and said, we need to make some changes to our parent roundtable, and I'm excited to highlight those for you tonight. We would like to provide more families with greater access to the decisions we make inside the walls of the high school. We would like to provide more families with opportunities to engage with DAHS. And we would like to collaborate, and this last point is critical. We want to really capitalize on our family's strengths, interests, and connections, and I'll talk more about that later. Doesn't really matter what I say, what does the research say? Just a couple quotes that I found. You can Google this and you'll find the top 10 links that come up all pretty much say the same thing. I'll just read the first one out loud and you can read the other two. The best predictor of student success is the extent to which families encourage learning at home and involve themselves in their child's education. So, the three legs of the stool. I'm going to keep that quote around the district for a little longer. That's what Dr. Dyer is. But the three legs of the stool, we're going to rename it Families in DAHS. And we're going to recruit some team members to be part of this. And the three legs of the stool will be to welcome new families to our district, to assist us in building our network for career pathway opportunities, and to act as a liaison at our programs, orientations, and assemblies. Not one of the legs of the stool, but probably the foundation of the stool, is preparing kids for adulthood. We want to keep that at our focus. After the 4 years, we shake their hands on the field of graduation, we're sending them into the real world, and we hope and pray that they're ready for adulthood. And we want to, all three of these legs have that as a foundation. First, we want to make sure we welcome new families. It's a great opportunity. You only get one chance to make a first impression, and we want it to be a good one. We're going to create a database of community resources for families. We hope parents can connect the parents to key internal and external stakeholders. It's one thing for a counselor for a principal to meet with a new family and say, here's what we're all about, here's what you need to know. It's a totally different conversation if a parent picks up the phone and says, hey, we heard you just joined Dallastown. What do you need? Are you settling in okay? Is there anything we can help? Of course, that family will say, could have the opportunity to say, I don't really want a phone call from a strange parent that I don't know. We'll give them that opportunity. But if they're willing to, for us to share their phone number with this team of parents, we'll reach out to them and welcome them to the district. Second, and I know this is of utmost importance to the board and the vision of our district, we're about maxed out in our network of community businesses and resources in terms of getting our kids out to experiences. And yet, just recently I went on the Peru trip, just in conversation with two or three parents on that trip. Oh, I didn't even know you needed someone to shadow in X, Y, or Z. We would love to have that person come to my place of business. We'd like to have a presence on our parent Facebook page, a positive presence on our parent Facebook page, and link students that are looking for opportunities with all the great networks that our parents have in our community. A big one right there. Third, we certainly want to get their parent guardian perspective, and I would say this was the primary focus of our roundtable in the past. We want to expand on it. We want to invite parents into our ninth grade orientation, which is coming up in January, so that it's not just the department chairs in the lobby telling parents what their programs are about. Off to the side with a nice blue table runner will be a parent table that you can go up, and that's a totally separate conversation, encouraging them, telling them it will be okay. I have an 11th grader now. I was feeling what you were feeling 3 years ago. You'll figure it out, and if you need anything, reach out. And kind of plays into this. Just encouraging parents that have been through this. This was a personal experience for me. I don't think she knows how to access the board transcript, so she won't know that I'm sharing this. But I have a sixth grader that's entering that tweener phase. And just my connection and say to some adults in the building that have been through this, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? How can I better support my emerging adult? And we want to make sure that we connect parents with other parents that have been through these trials, tribulations, and great moments of success. So here's our action plan. We did number one, the last parent roundtable. We got snowed out, unfortunately, but we rescheduled, and parents were great to come in. Seek overall feedback, suggestions. The morning that I did share that with our current parent roundtable, I'd say to a person, they were very pleased with the direction of this. Devin, one parent comment that stands out. This is awesome because finally I know how I can help. I want to help. If you give me a task, I may not be able to do all three legs of school. Maybe I'm more comfortable with welcoming new families. If you give me 5 days to call over the summer, I would call it. We're in the process with counselors, generating a list of parents that would be good in this. Obviously, we want to be intentional about that list. But that's the next phase, and that's kind of where we are right now. Recruiting parents and guardians to serve in this capacity. Three, we are looking for a day in the spring. We're not sure what that's going to look like. If it's a half day, it could be an evening. It could be an evening and a Saturday. But bringing in our core team of parents and training them and getting them to kind of find their place in this new initiative. And then, obviously, the final thing, implementing pool for 2020 and 2021 school year. I'm excited to report back sometime next year on our progress. Citation, in case you would like to, fact check my quotes about the importance of parents.
Are they in the right format?
I believe so.
Well, that's a really interesting idea. Any thoughts or questions?
I have a question. Yes. First of all, I applaud your efforts. I think this is wonderful. I think that, you know, for a student to be successful, you need the school, the student, and a parent involved. But the families that are less active in their child's education, you're going to certainly make an initial contact, which you said before. Give a plan to maybe follow that up for those parents who are less motivated to be part of the process?
I'm hoping that this solves some of that. I like to be transparent in my presentations. I was a little disappointed with our turnout for our most recent parent-teacher conference. So I'm hoping that one of the goals of this is that some relationships can be fostered. And I heard one parent, who may or may not be in the room, say that she developed some good friendships from similar reachings out. And so I just hope, that's obviously a goal, a huge goal, engaging those parents that may not be as inclined to sign up for a parent-teacher conference. So next year we'll tell if we've had any impact on that.
Keep working on it. It's a great thing to do.
Yep.
Any other comments or questions?
Again, I also want to thank you because I've already been through this, but it is some, it would be not, it, I understand what it would be like if I would have been able to meet with parents who had similar situations, because sometimes you do feel alone, and to have other parents to talk to about different things, it would have been better, it would have been easier for me. So as a parent, been through there, I appreciate that you guys are reaching out to the parents and not just the new families. The fact that you're reaching out to the ones in ninth grade orientation, that's, you're trying to reach everyone, and it's up then to the parents to make sure that they get more involved.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. Good work. Thanks.
Well, tonight is the first official board meeting with Dr. Hutler and Dr. Dahl in their new roles, and we're pleased to have the first official superintendent's report by Dr. Dahl.
Thank you. And what you will find is the format I hope to use throughout the remainder of the year related to the superintendent's report. So we will no longer sub-bullet the superintendent's report, but just have that listed within the format. First and foremost, we're going to go back in time for the past month and try to keep you up-to-date on a monthly basis of what has occurred in the district. And a lot of celebration this month to share. First and foremost, Kristen Noose, who's an 8th grade social studies teacher as well as a subject area leader for a science department in middle school, was recognized as a 2020 finalist for Teacher of the Year, which is a tremendous honor. Only 12 in the state. She was recognized at the state SAS conference here in December, and just so proud of Kristen's accomplishment and what she represents to the profession. Additionally, we're equally proud to share Garrett, who's been selected as a Northeast Conference on the Teaching of Foreign Language Meeting Fellow Scholarship. The scholarship really provided to someone who contributes to the world language profession and advances quality language instruction. And Mrs. Garrett, is, if you know her, is a ball of energy, ball of professionalism, tremendous when it comes to professional development, and her talents and gifts continue to benefit our organization. And again, proud of both of those professionals. Mr. Blevins just mentioned two individuals we want to welcome, and that's Dr. Hepler. Welcome to the table, first and foremost. See, I have a bigger indent than I was sitting there a while back, but she is a great asset, has already turned out to be a tremendous partner individual as I navigate the first few weeks of the superintendency. Certainly a welcome with success, and so we welcome her to her role. Additionally, I want to just give you a visual of Nicole Montgomery, who began her role at the end of December. Nicole is a coordinator of marketing and communication and is already making an impact on gaining a clear sense and understanding of the district, and more importantly, helping with the development and implementation, oversight, and update of our communications and public relations programs and strategies. So hopefully next board meeting, we'll have Nicole visit us and provide some additional insight. Obviously, we cannot get through the December month without a kudos to entire Dallas Town community's music community for just some tremendous performances. That's a great showcase of our students, but also the talents of our professional staff. And it's always a wonderful time with great feedback from our community. There are a host of other things that occurred that we'll continue to share on a monthly basis, and you can certainly read through those events within the superintendent's report. I will say this, I'm proud to be working in this school district, and it's just on a daily basis as I get around more and more what excitement opportunities exist. I will provide information related to student enrollment. What I will note here is that you'll observe overall student population has reached 6,439 students. Just keep that number in mind, because we went back in the archive, going back to 1986, this is the highest our enrollment has ever been in Dallas Town history. Additionally, this is the highest enrollment for our K-3 grades at 1894 students, the highest ever enrollment for our 7-8 grades at 1,052 students, and the highest ever enrollment for our high school at 1,932 students. So it is very clear we're growing about 1%. I know we will have some additional conversation at as a board at next week's workshop, but the intermediate school didn't make the list. They were 10 short. So last year they were the highest they ever were, but the number continues to trend. With that said, I also want to take the time to recognize in January School Board Recognition Month. And certainly, you know, as board members, you play a critical role in helping our schools provide a quality education to every student. So certainly on behalf of the school district, we want to hopefully you'll accept our sincere thank you for your work and contributions. Your guidance and leadership are appreciated. I know that already in the first few weeks on the job. This evening, there are three individuals that made the list of 8-plus years. So they received a certificate from PSBA, that's Mr. Blevins, with 9 years. Mrs. Heaston and Mr. Lytle for their 8 years of service, and thank you. Also thank, I know we had several individuals attend PSBA workshops, Mr. Wingard, and then Mrs. Topsler, and I think Mr. Lytle, you also attended with some of the required training coming up. And again, just a true thank you for your work and appreciation here within the district. In the spirit of spending time with the ones you love, I also want to mention that we're pleased to share the school will now be in session on Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, due to our recent snow and inclement closure. And additionally, I just leave you with a few upcoming events. Thank you.
Good report.
Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Dahl? Very good. Let's move on to our consent items. Are there any late-breaking changes to the personnel report, Mr.
No, where did you go? Thank you.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent items.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent items as is.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The action items are approved. We have a few action items tonight, the first of which is the calendar at a glance. Dr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I'm delighted to share with you the final 2020-21 calendar glance that was presented last meeting. The calendar was only one slight update. There was a removal of a time specific for the first day of school for grade 9 on August 26th. More detailed time frame will be communicated as we get closer to the start of the school year. But we seek your approval, and with your approval, we'll start communication to the wider school community.
Any questions about the calendar? Okay. Someone care to make a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve action item 8A, the calendar for 2020-21.
I'll second it.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8A is approved. Moving on, we have the transfer of entity from LIU to DSAB for two autistic support classrooms. Dr. Huffer.
Good evening. It's my pleasure to provide this to you as my first report. Thank you and appreciate your consideration. We have been working with Finance Committee on the transfer of entity for two autistic support classrooms located at York Township Elementary. First, I'd like to begin by thanking Mrs. Hostler for joining us with Mr. Bouchelon and Mr. Fry to share some of the experiences that are that are part of what we will be experiencing as we consider bringing back these classrooms to our district. Just so that you have a reminder, currently we house two autistic support classrooms that are Dallas Town School District owned and two that are Lane Intermediate Unit owned. And I would like to introduce Mr. Fry in order to complete the presentation here. You'll see a lot more student focus here rather than finance.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for allowing us to have this presentation. Ms. Hostler, thank you again for coming out and taking the tour with us at York Township. And thank you, Mr. Bouchelon, as well as Dr. Heffler for that. So what we want to do is give a presentation of our autistic support program here at Dallas Town Area School District. But before kind of diving into that, if we go to the next slide, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our fair share commitment with the LIQ. So this is just a brief overview, but really just kind of drilling down to it. For every 10 students that we have in outside placements in district-operated classes through the LIU, we're required to have one full classroom here at the Dallas Town Area School District. And that's really the rules of engagement with fair share. So as we increase our enrollment with the LIU, that requires us to take on additional space for these fair share classrooms within our Dallas Town Area School District. So taking a look here as far as the number of students that we have in our fair share classrooms, currently right now we have 81 students that are in district IU fair share classrooms, 27 students in our LIU center-based programs, which would include York Learning Center, Paradise, ACLC, Project Search, those classrooms. Those are not counted against our fair share quota, but the 81 students that are actually out in those programs, they are actually, that does impact our classes here at Dallas Town Area School District. And you can see here, this just kind of outlines the classes that we host within our programs, the number of students that we actually house in those programs. And you can see it ranges, right now we have two preschool classrooms and it ranges the whole way from there down to our high school where we actually have our life skills classes. So it runs the range and the gamut. And if you see there in the one column, you can see the classrooms and then the number of students that are housed within those classrooms.
So do I think there's like 13 classrooms altogether if I added them up?
That is correct.
And would our fair share be 8?
That is correct.
Okay.
So Dallas Town, right now currently we are actually over our commitment of 5 by 5 classrooms.
If I may just comment, that is one thing that we are currently analyzing. Obviously, I just shared information regarding our enrollment, so we're also in a position where we're running out of space, so this will be a consideration for the upcoming school year in regard to equalizing some of that number.
Thank you. So taking a look at our autistic support program, we actually drilled back into our data from the 2014-2015 year, and we projected out through our 2021 school year. If you take a look, each year we've increased at the K-3 level, each year we've increased students dramatically across those years. And if you take a look, next year we're projected to have at least 27 students that are gonna be coming into our K-3 program. Currently, right now, we have 31, but at this time, we have 3 students that have been identified as autistic with 10 developmental delay students coming in with our preschool numbers that could impact those classrooms. And if we're looking at 4 full classrooms, that would be 32 students that would be maxed out within those classrooms. And just to give a board an idea as far as enrollment, we've had an average annual increase of 34% across the last couple years when we took a look from back to 2014-2015. Up into 2019 and 2020. And that has impacted our classrooms, especially at York Township, and impacted our autistic support program across the board. So one of the things that we look at with the transfer of entities, it's the quality of programming. And I know when I took over as Director of Special Education, and I know that when I met with many of you, one of the big things that we take pride in here at Dowstown is the impact on our students and the quality of education of our programs. And if we take a look at what we do here, working with Ms. Kossoff, working with Holly Dell, and our teachers, we actually work through the Patan Initiative. And what the Patan Initiative does is it gives us a set of standards that our autistic support teachers work through. And that's one of the things that we pride with our programs here at Dowstown. We have visual checks. We actually have Patan coming in the spring, and actually in the fall and the spring, and they're actually coming through and assessing our teachers, giving us feedback as administrators, and pushing our programs and pushing our students within boundaries to exceed the expectations of what we've seen in other autistic support programs, including the IDEAL. And we're one of the few districts in the county that participate fully with this, but we take a lot of pride with that. And one of the things that we want to take a look at as far as the benefits of taking back autistic support, yes, there's the cost that's associated with it, but we take a look at as far as like what that provides us. We have better district oversight of our programs. One of the hurdles that we run into when we go with an IU-based program is kind of the checks and balances. If an IU teacher has a problem with an IU student, they're typically going to contact their instructional advisor, who could honestly be at Shrewsbury Elementary, which is down in Southern York School District. They could be at Hanover, which is another school district. And that opportunity to actually get out and support our students is very difficult versus actually having somebody within district to support the students in the program. And that's one of the things that we really do is take pride of supporting our students and building that culture within our programs. So one of the things, and we can run down the list, but our biggest goal is to provide a great program within our district to support our students. And we really do feel as though by taking back our autistic support program, that with those two classrooms, that we can align them with what we already offer and provide that high quality of education that our parents and our staff members have with our students and for our classrooms here at Dallas Saturday School District.
So at this time, I would also like to thank Ms. Kossoff and Holly Dell and Mr. Fry for providing us this information and sharing with you some pictures of what they're doing in the classrooms so you have a better informed experience when you look for transfer of entities tonight. So we are moving forward and asking you to take action on this opportunity. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Fry?
I have a couple quick questions. With the Patan, you were saying the LIU does not use that.
No, the LIU uses it, but what I would say, like some districts across the county, they don't quite use it. So when we look at as far as like when we have our consultants come in, that's one of the things that we really try to streamline is that's the consistency that we look for. So it like this year with those two new established classrooms, and Amy, you could probably speak to that better than I can, but they, as much as they do participate, they're not fully participated in the program like our new teachers that we get involved. So there's a boot camp that the Patan offers that we send our teachers to, we send our support staff to, and what that does is that provides that consistent language for our staff members to understand as far as like working with students with autism.
This is Houston. This year, when we had that IU collaboration, when they were in the Scribuchon building, initially they were not going to do the Patan Initiative, and we did strongly suggest that just because our other two classrooms did do it, and we didn't want half of our students, going through that type of support and half not going through it. And that's one of the challenges, and Mr. Bouchelon could probably, and Mr. Smith could agree to this, is that sometimes, we have really high quality programs here, but we're really confident in saying that, but we wanted to make sure that they were similar because they're all Dallas Town kids. So we worked with the IU supervisor and asked that they reconsider going into the Patan Initiative. And like Mr. Fry said, they did, but they're just starting it. They're not quite as far as like the trainings and supports that we have for our two teachers.
So will we have to then send the two teachers that we take as the transfer entity, will we be sending them to that boot camp then, or are they already trained? It's just a matter of them getting more familiar with it?
Right now, during the school year, they get more familiar with it. We have an internal person that's very good, that we offer as a resource to those IU classrooms for the sake of the students and consistency, that's Mrs. Dell. They have a mini boot camp that they may have went to, I'm not sure of the IU, but the typical 4-week boot camp is like the end of July, for a week. So yes, to answer your question, if you would all decide to transfer, do the transfer of entities, those teachers would go through the boot camp.
So you're saying we already are somewhat supporting them with one of our district's teachers?
Yes, for the sake of the students.
Yeah, so the difference is, while they're participating in the program, as are we, the difference is the fidelity and oversight administratively and ensuring the program is being used the way it's supposed to be. We, on our district side, have stepped in and we have stepped in to support some of those areas, offer the support where the amount of time spent by their supervisors away from the building because they're across multiple counties, they've not been able to provide that level of support. So we have voluntarily, to this point, been doing that, helping with that, so that we know those students will get the program if they need it. Which is one of the concerns that we've been talking about in the last several months, just internally within the building. So with the PAT initiative, they are doing that, and they are actively trying and training and doing all the things they're supposed to be doing. But the supports that we offer are more direct and helpful to teachers and students in the classroom because we are always here, we're right in close proximity, and their supervisors and oversight are just more spread out in terms of where they physically are to be able to offer that support.
So, like Holly Dell, for example, our behavior specialist, Holly actually goes in and does fidelity checks with the staff, and what she's looking for is she's looking to make sure that they're implementing those practices. And that's an important thing that we really try to consider. And like Mr. Bouchelon stated, you know, when you're spread across the county, it gets a little bit more difficult to be able to do that. Where Holly can go in or Amy can go in, and they're hitting through 4 classrooms and going over to the intermediate school. But plus going back, you know, later on that week and providing that feedback for teaming to reinforce as far as those high quality practices. It's not that we're saying that they're not providing them, but we feel as though that we're able to critique and give that guidance in a much quicker and much timely, much more timely effort to make sure that the impact on the students is happening very quickly instead of kind of letting it wait and drag on at that point. So for us, it's very instrumental to have someone like a Holly Dale, have someone like Amy be able to go in and support those classrooms, be able to see what's taking place and what's going on. And that's having that offers us and gives us that ability. We were hoping, you know, with that partnership with the LIU, but we also respect the fact that when you have an LIU program, you have an LIU supervisor, instructional advisor that are not there, and when our staff steps in, we don't necessarily want to step on toes, but at the same time, we are the LIU and we're responsible for the students that are in those classes. So as much as we work towards that partnership, we also recognize that that's also an area of weakness that where we feel as though we can provide better supports to those classrooms, to those students.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
No questions, just a comment. We have a different audience here than we did at committee, but I just want to share my appreciation for filling in the rest of the gaps. I'm glad that it isn't just a finance and budget item and number crunching. You help that made sense from a fiduciary responsibility. I'm grateful for this extra information, get it in the minutes, get it on the record for all the other benefits and work that you kept coming up. I mentioned it then, and you said it several times tonight, it's just consistency. So I'm grateful that you're looking out for the well-being, and this thing seems to make sense on this level as well. So thank you for bringing it all together.
Thank you, everyone.
And if I may, I appreciate your comments, Mr. Blake, but a little more than a monetary decision, but just for the record as well, for those who are not here at a committee meeting, this transfer of entity will save in the first year approximately $256,000 for the district. So it is certainly what's best for kids, but also from a fiduciary standpoint, benefits the district.
Thank you.
I have a motion for approval of action item 8B.
I'll move with that item 8B being moved and approved as presented.
The motion, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lidle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8B is approved. And now we have approval of a core switch replacement that was discussed at the Finance Committee meeting, and Mr. Stauffer.
Good evening. As shared at the Finance Committee meeting last week, we're seeking your approval of a core switch. Remember, Mr. Watson, with his sense of humor, shared that if this piece of equipment does not work, nothing else will work. But we do come to you seeking approval because this is eratable, and that is part of the process. We do need your approval for it. We had a mini bid, and we had two respondents, vendors respond. We are recommending CDWG at a cost of $45,100. We would be paying that right away. We would look at about a year from now, about this time of year, we would receive those E-rate funds back, a total of $22,500. Any questions?
Any questions? Need a motion?
I make a motion to approve item 8C, core switch replacement.
I'll second that. Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of action item 8C, approval of the core switch replacement, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Okay, that action item is approved. And now, Mr. Fisher, we have some job descriptions to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Levins. Good evening. Back in November, the HR department embarked on a project to begin updating all of our job descriptions throughout the district. So our goal is to spend the next several months going department for department, breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. So tonight, we're seeking your approval on several updates to the business office and buildings and grounds departments and those job descriptions, which have been previously presented to you.
These were discussed in some detail at the HR committee meeting last week.
That's correct.
Any questions?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve item 8D.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of approval of action item 8D, the job descriptions for the business office and buildings and grounds, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. 8D is approved. And now we have Mr. Lidle and the New York County School of Technology budget.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. As this is also my time to speak for information items, I wanted to take a quick moment and just thank Dr. Paul and his team publicly. He brought a team over to the School of Technology on Monday, high school level team. To see part-time and full-time opportunities that might be able to work in both of our benefits. He's continuing Dr. Geyer's support of the School of Technology. I'm just grateful that firsthand, I think it was an eye-opening experience for that group of people to see what the school does have to offer. And I think if we can get past the ego of, you know, what piece of paper is on the diploma, if we put it into student focus as the best needs of this student, the solution might be, and I would highly recommend, New York County School of Technology for the opportunities that they provide. And I think it was eye-opening for the high school as well. So again, thank you publicly. Moving on to the action item that's before you, I had to keep this up along with budgetary process with tonight is that I'll ask for your formal support of their budget. It's roughly a 3.47% increase year over year. Briefly, three major cost components go into that. It was contractual obligations with the rescinding of the funding holiday from the Lincoln Benefit Trust, which is a major component of that. They will be now be paying full 12 months to tease up several things. It gets us back to they're having loss history, so it gets our fund balance back in order. It also sets the curve to maybe looking at other options for their health insurance. So I think it's a wise move long term. And then
discretionary spending only went up about $10,000 on a $30 million budget. So I think the one thing that they have is an advantage, they can target their enrollment. So that's really where we can flatline the expenses pretty well. We can do budget, a zero budget in the true sense. So I think they've really righted their ship from opportunity and fiduciary responsibility. And I'm pleased to ask your support for action item 8.5, or 8E, please. And if I can, make that a motion, please. I'd be glad to make a motion that we approve budget as presented. Thank you.
My motion is our second.
I'll second that.
So, any questions or comments for Mr. Levin? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Levin?
Yes. Budget is approved. How long will it take the process to get all the districts?
We try to do this hopefully by mid-February, we'll know, just so we can memory act. I also want to thank you all for, it is important that we have a roll call vote, because the majority of the seats, it is based on our majority of number of seats per number of sending districts. So a unanimous vote here does an incredible amount of support, so thank you.
And our last action item of the evening is approval of an early student withdrawal to attend college. Dr. Fletcher.
Yes, and I have your consideration. Lucas Matuszewski, senior, would like to graduate early. He has met all the criteria as outlined in policy 241. His goal is to attend the University of Pittsburgh and join their soccer team this spring. So he is anxiously awaiting your decision.
Any questions about the early withdrawal?
Okay. As a University of Pittsburgh alumni, I'd like to recommend
a second.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
Can I just ask one brief question? Having not been through a process like this before, I imagine that because you're presenting this here, you're supportive of this.
Absolutely.
You indicated that everything's been met and you are in support of us doing this.
Correct.
That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Good. Any other questions?
If I may make a brief comment. I think this is the tip of the iceberg, and this policy has been in play for many years. I know, just to follow up to you, Mr. Pantano, it's a great question. The high school administration is actually looking to strengthen the policy and then provide some revision. We're going to have more and more students as they're taking charge of their careers. We're doing a better job inspiring and creating pathways for their success. You're going to see more and more students wanting to take advantage of this opportunity. So I know Dr. Hepler is going to be working on a policy along with Mr. Bensel and the upcoming policy committee that will be further vetted here at the board level as well.
Good. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of approval of action item 8F, early student withdrawal to attend college, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you. Now we move to our information items and the student representative report, Mr. Rexroth.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Before I dive into the report, I'd like to comment on the report itself. So you may notice that for this month, the report is a little sparse in comparison to past months, but I don't want that to be construed as a lack of activity or lack of activism in our school community. I would mostly accredit this to many organizations taking the new year to plan for new activities and accomplishments to follow in 2020. In my first comments to this board, I stated that there was a lot of energy and a lot of activism within the student body, and this report does not reflect the whole of that simply by the nature of the report. Like, for example, Dr. Fletcher, other administration, Student leaders and myself all met yesterday to develop ways to improve our high school moving forward. Another current example is senior Aaron McLean, who baked and sold cookies, donating all the funds to the wildfires in Australia. These are some of the things that you don't get to see on a macro scale, as in this report, but on a micro scale, we have some phenomenal grassroots energy in our school. So now to the report. Future Business Leaders of America, FBLA. In February and March, FBLA members will be visiting North Township Elementary and the intermediate school to present lessons on entrepreneurship, the third graders, and how to be safe digital citizens to the fifth graders. Dallastown Performing Arts Club, EPAC. The first week in January, EPAC presented their fall play, Game of Tiaras, at the Pennsylvania Thespian State Conference, for which the state board awarded them with $500 in recognition of their hard work, and the club voted to donate that to charity. The senior Kat Ronald earned the All-Star Performance Award for her role as Blood Packet Guy at the event the International Thespian Society Troop 7973 awarded the Bronze Troop Award to honor their performances and community outreach during the 2018-2019 school year. Chelsea Suarez, Ryder Herman, and Kat Ronald were inducted into the PA Thespian Hall of Fame. DPAC is currently rehearsing their upcoming winter dinner theater production, Antigone Now, to be held February 13th at 6 p.m. in the high school cafeteria. Ticketing and other information may be found on the DPAC page of the high school website. In terms of student council, our Welcome to Winter Day was a huge success. I'm extremely proud of the council and the work that was done. I'm thankful for my advisors and all the work that they put in, Ms. Boyd and Ms. Hugh. And our next event, Mr. DHS, will be coming up in the following months. And student council will also be selling wristbands in order to fundraise awareness and raise awareness for Angie Mike, a former Dallastown student, current student at Redwood, who is in need of financial assistance, paying for his heart transplant and all the medication and other procedures that go along with that. So I'll take any questions at this time.
Questions for Mrs. Rapture. As always, an excellent report. Thank you.
Sorry I yelled at the beginning.
We're just all cats.
Okay. Now the comprehensive plan, Dr. Dahl.
Thank you. I'm delighted to share this evening our DASD Board of Directors recommended 2020-2026 comprehensive plan. As a reminder, we will have, I'll take that. Just as a reminder to our board and our public, we actually have two plans that we continue to juggle. The first being the 100-plus page PDE comprehensive plan, which is more of a requirement and more certainly for a compliance purpose. But what we're talking about this evening is the heart of the matter, the Dallastown Area School District comprehensive plan, which ultimately is not required by the state, so it's something that we do above and beyond. So ultimately there's no requirement for your official approval, but we are seeking your approval in the upcoming month due to this is really serves as the roadmap for our future. It will also serve as how we prioritize the work, our goals, our allocation, resources, etc. So with that said, I wanted to spend some time reviewing the current plan. This plan, I give Dr. Dyer, former superintendent, great credit, something that has given us great focus from 2014 up to this final school year. The plan itself consists of 80 broad goals, 20 specific goals, and 38 action steps. Just as regard to a status, I can say, sit here because I follow this plan closely and monitored it, that we have 21 of the 36 action steps completed. The 15 out of the 36 are in progress, and I will say that these will always be in progress. But there has been an abundance of work that has taken place on all aspects of the 36 action steps. Formulating the new plan itself, you may recall last year a lot of the work credit goes to the good people sitting. I still don't understand why they love sitting in the back of the room, but that's our, we're going to change that. That's right. I guess I'm superintendent now. We can make that change. But the leadership team, at the same time, certainly the board of directors, we spend a lot of time vetting ideas. And so we don't go into a comprehensive plan with a blank sheet of paper. You're going to see some carryover, certainly from the previous plan. But more importantly, there's a lot of tremendous innovation, a lot of great ideas from our leadership team and the board. We spent last year. This fall, seeking feedback from a wide range of stakeholders allowed us to tweak and adjust some additional conversation at our fall retreat with the board of directors. And again, we're at the point where we'd like to formalize the plan and seek your approval as a board in February. The plan itself consists, we do want to maintain the six-year focus that provided us great stability this past go-around, and also continue with some very clear, broad categories and sub-goals. But specifically, when we elected to maintain our current vision and mission. And probably the one thing that came out of the current plan is the stability, the focus, the pride of the vision and mission that's behind us here as a team. But really focusing on this concept of inspiring and creating pathways for student success. Out of that vision, out of that mission, we have spent an abundance of time, resource, and energy preparing for things like we just approved this evening. Students taking more flexibility, focus, opportunity to drive their decision making in post-secondary world. I would argue we've done a tremendous job this past 5.5 years of creating pathways for student success. I really think the work of our district in the upcoming 6 years will be focusing on how do we best now inspire students to take advantage of opportunities that we do have. So that, to me, is still relevant vision and mission for our district. Just going to briefly go over for our, certainly our public, but also for the board, some of the highlights of the plan. You're going to see the plan consists of 7 broad goals and 19 sub-goals. The first being achievement, focusing on a new development framework for teaching, alignment of our PA core curriculum, greater focus on K-12 assessment and grading practices, as well as revisions for educator effectiveness model. Second goal being program enhancement, which is a lot of focus on the refinement of our English language learner, special education, and gift of talented services, continuation of equity and diversity efforts, enhancement and utilization, combined resources at the secondary level, at the secondary campus mindset, and learning opportunities connected to our district alternative education program. Goal 3, focused on student career preparation, I think speaks for itself, is just an expansion and continuation of our work with student career pathway. Goal 4, something that all districts, I think our society in general, continues to cope with, is the need for social emotional services. And with this, looking at having some specifics related to our level of care for those matters, as well as delivery for intervention and remediation services, K-12, that's something that's procuring and transitions well from level to level. Mr. Stauffer's will continue to be busy with the development of the new technology action plan. So this, in essence, is a comprehensive plan within a comprehensive plan that he now will get the green light with the permission to start the new rendition. I know you're very excited for that, Mr. Stauffer. Additionally, goal 6, safety and security, looking at, you know, continuation of our infrastructure, continuation of personnel needs, and continuation of protocols to keep our students safe, first and foremost, as well as a number of operations that tie specifically into goal 7.1 and 7.2. And we're gonna spend really the heart of our work next week as a board of directors will be on the maintenance of existing facilities and infrastructure and making sure that we have a prioritized capital project list. And more importantly, as we mentioned with enrollment this evening, future growth strategies as we continue to increase our student population. We also have some contractual pieces, some hiring pieces, how do we onboard our staff, how do we hire our staff, and making sure that we are giving them the best experience, and we're also hiring and retaining the best employees out there. We have a number of contractual obligations to make sure that that's in alignment with our vision and mission. And last but not least, this concept of calendar, which you did approve next year's calendar, but having some broader discussion on what are some optimal calendar models that exist for a school to put in place. So in all, we are extremely pleased with the comprehensive plan. I want to thank certainly again our leadership team, our board, various stakeholders who put a lot of time, energy, and resource into developing this. And with your approval, I'm very excited also to hand the plan over to our area Dr. Hepler. This is, I know, in sitting in your seat, really defined my work and gave me great focus. I know it will for you, and you'll be a great steward of it once approved.
So that will be an action item next month?
Correct.
Yep. Any questions about the comprehensive plan? Okay, let's move on to the targeted support and improvement. Dr. Hepler.
Thank you for your time this evening. Previously, you would have received some basic information as a group through email. However, we wanted to bring to you some of the basic detailed information for targeted support and improvement. This is an overview. In front of you, you will find a handout that is titled the DASD TSI Board of Directors Brief. That provides you with a one-page handout of the basics behind TSI, and I will go through some of those things here with you tonight. And on the back of that handout, you'll also find the main premise behind what it means to plan for this type of improvement and support. Just so you're aware, this the PDE designates this cycle annually. Annually, they will be examining data across the state for every school building to determine whether or not there's a performance by a student group or more than one student group that would meet the threshold of the levels determined by the state. This year, Dallas Town High School has been designated for this type of support and improvement for specifically students with disabilities. Now, the categories that I have listed in front of you here are the areas for which we were qualified for this improvement process. There are a couple other qualities, graduation rate and EL data that met the threshold, so they did not mark as being included here. This is all founded on the Pennsylvania Cycle for Improvement. It provides us with direction. So it comes from a lot of research that has to do with what does it mean to take a children in groups who have needs and provide them the correct supports to create an equitable environment so that they can have the most positive impact on their education. So first we set a direction, we assess our needs, we create a plan, and that plan is outlined from the state as to what we must do in our process, and it is very well outlined for us. We will then implement the plan and monitor it. Of course, we will adjust it at any time. The plan that we create here internally in the district will be a 2 to 3 year plan, even though this data is on 1 year's worth of student data. The work that we do will be completely founded on the essential practices outlined by the state. We'll work on empowering leadership, quality professional learning, continuous improvement instruction, and student-centered supports. And they seem to fit very nicely into the Dallas Town model for the way in which we approach teaching and learning for all of our student groups, specifically in this one. The process implications include the following. Obviously, we'll need to participate in some training, and I would like to acknowledge Dr. Free and Mr. Fry for participating in the first PATAN training that was provided regarding TSI for all districts. Just so that you're aware, there are 13 schools in York County that have been designated for TSI this year. There are 15 total in our IU region. Two additional school buildings in the county have been identified for what they consider the TSIA. TSI, if I'm going to be clear with you, is an internal student group improvement process. We decide internally what it is that we need to do to help these groups of children. We decide on a plan and formulate it collaboratively using a steering committee. We look at data, and we look at these four areas that are on the back of your handout, the essential practices, to make sure that we really truly are doing everything we can to create that equitable environment for our learners. Well then, the high school, I have to give them also a lot of credit. They worked very closely this week and with a group to form a steering committee and pull together the data that they needed to analyze for this process. They will then work with the steering committee to determine what goals they will put forth in those four areas and work on implementation. That can be adjusted as we see fit. Now, the state will be adjusting and determining qualifications for TSI annually for any student groups. And this group here will come to you in the spring in order to share with you what the plan is, because it does require board approval, and we do post it on the comprehensive plan state site. However, it is managed entirely within the school district. Okay, it is an internal document for our improvements for the children. The last slide that demonstrates our timeline that we have mapped out for you, so you have an awareness of what our timeline will be for this group of students and what we're working on. It provides you a little bit of a framework and a frame of reference when you go to speak about those types of things. Just so that you're aware, the student group population would be 20 students or more in a specific category, such as students with disabilities. As soon as you have 20 students in a building that meet the criteria, then they do examine the data for those children. At this time, I would just like to welcome you to please, at your time and leisure, you may look at the brief and obviously ask any questions that you may have of me regarding that. And I want to make sure again that I honor the team and certainly the steering committee that will take this forth from this point forward. Are there any questions from the board or anything that I can add for you?
So how do you get off the list?
Well, just so you have an idea, the achievement data was taken from 17-18 along with the growth and graduation rate. The EL data came from 18-19, and the regular attendance came from 17-18, and the career standards benchmark, because this was the first year they collected that data, was from 18-19. So it will be determined based on what the state pulls from our reporting every year. So if we make the mark the next time, then we will not be on the list. We are in good company with many districts surrounding, so we will have much collaboration. And we want to give great thanks to the IU. They have provided us numerous rich resources in order to move us through this process.
Great.
And if you may recall, back in the note behind there, this is really what was considered school improvement. So it's a new version of school improvement under the new federal accountability.
Okay. Good report, thank you. The Buildings and Capital Projects Committee and the Finance Committee met last Thursday. And I'll give a brief overview of both of those in the absence of Mr. Hart. The Buildings and Capital Projects Committee focused a great deal of our time on an update and another look at the secondary campus master plan. And we have a lot of discussion about that, and those discussions, I'm sure, will continue as we move into our retreat workshop next week. We also talked at some length about the Loganville Springfield project and some last minute delays in moving to the next phase of the project. I am happy to report that those delays seem to be under control and we're moving forward as planned now next week. So it's a big day in big milestone in the project, and should be a lot of excitement among our students and parents for that. And I think all the board members were invited to be there That's Tuesday morning, and I would encourage those of you who can make it to attend. It'll be a fun time. And the new construction is, I had the pleasure of touring it yesterday. Day before yesterday with Mr. Pantano and Dr. Dahl and Mr. Lytle, and it's spectacular. They have done just a fabulous job. We were something we would be really proud of. And so they're very pleased with the progress. That was the major items of discussion in the Building and Capital Projects Committee, in the Finance Committee. We talked briefly about some auditing fees and took a first glance at the preliminary budget for next year, very preliminary budget for next year. And as is typical at this stage of the budgeting process, it's not pretty. We're looking at a very significant deficit, and we have some work to do. So we also discussed and gave a head nod approval to proceed to the hiring process for replacement of 6 retirees, and that was pretty much the. We also discussed the course switch. Bid in some detail that we approved earlier this evening. So, any questions about the two committees? The HR committee also met afterwards, and we'll be working out later. So, very good. Let's move to the PSBA liaison report. Mr. Bensel.
Thank you. First thing I'm going to start off is I know a couple of our members went to some that require school director training. I played around and did the online stuff. The new member stuff, I just did it to say I did it, just to see what that was like. That was okay. I know I talked a little bit to Mr. Whitehall. The four trauma-informed courses, that was really hard to get through that. But I mean, it was rough. I mean, it's another one of those, you know, mandates that come from the state. They think they know a lot, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm out of protocol here, but if any of the new members want to make any comments, you know, the training you had, or I know Bill, don't have to talk about the trauma informed one. If it's appropriate, if you want to make any comments from your experience.
Well, I think this talk and I think we enjoyed it in the sense that, I mean, it wasn't a Disney World, but being new and our learning curve was pretty substantial. I thought it was good to be here. My recommendation, if they ever take feedback, is they really should have built the time for question and answer. It was so tight that, and they said they will not take questions. There's 1% or after the next, and at the end, would have been asked some questions. But I felt good over that.
Mrs. Hosler?
I agree.
You agree?
Very important.
Mr. Lytle, you probably have some comments.
I do. I'm going to reserve a board comment later as they tend to be more editorial in nature.
And I know it doesn't seem like it's a year already, but the Safe to Save started out, but it's been their 1 year anniversary. And they, the Attorney General from the state, Josh Shapiro, came out and had a conference. And it's filled with 40,300 institute contacts from students in every single school district in Pennsylvania, he said during his conference. And then they say they receive 100 tips every day. Says in most cases the tipsters were talking about their fellow students who seemed depressed. They were talking about students who were coming to school hungry. They were talking about kids who were victims of cyberbullying. And out of all of those 40,000 some tips,
two of them actually thwarted possible violence. One, they found a gun in a kid's home after somebody reported it, and one was actually in the school. Now, the other thing that he talked about, once they found out most of the PIPs were talking about bullying or depression or those types of things, it says, due to the types of tips that make up safety saves traffic, it says it's called on the legislature to put a health counselor in every school building in Pennsylvania. I'm sure that would be another unfunded mandate, not that it's not necessary. And it's things that us as a board and administration have been looking at already anyway. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. You would have thought there would have been more than two. I mean, that's still a success. And that's still two that didn't happen, but out of the 40,000, I thought more of it would have been those types of things. And then, the way it always happens, the legislative report, I had one from last week, and either come out Thursday or Friday, so the new one, the one that's, that I have attached is the old one. The new one came out this afternoon. Some of the interesting things that came up about that, passed by the House of Representatives School Board Agendas, House Bill 1069 amends the Sunshine Act to require a public agency, including school boards, to post meeting agendas in advance of a meeting and include on the agenda a list of matters that will be or may be the subject of discussion or official action, which we do. This says the agenda must be posted on the agency's website at least 24 hours prior to the meeting. At the meeting location at the agency's office, and copies available to those in attendance. Now they give a couple bullets of what doesn't have to be on there. But I think we probably comply. that means the anything for us to. And then this might be interesting to the administration. PSBA will present testimony to the House Education Committee on Tuesday, January 21st, regarding House Bill 1897. That requires school districts to offer full-time cyber education programs by the 2021-22 school year. Under the bill, all districts in the state must provide a full-time cyber education program and provide students with the option to participate in at least two alternative programs. School districts could create their own programs or work with third-party vendors, such as intermediate units, cyber charter schools, institutions on higher education, other school districts, or education management. And it says existing cyber charter schools will be required to cease operation at the end of the 2021 school year, but they may serve as third-party vendors. So I don't know if that's a backdoor around cyber charters or. I thought that was a little interesting. I guess that would require us to do K through 3 if that ever would come about. That's about it. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Benson? Thank you. Good report. I'm really proud of our school board for the last six years or so. Mr. Lytle, who is our representative to the York County School of Technology, has been the president of that board. And recently, Mrs. Easton was elected as president of the LIU board. So you guys are making us look good, and congratulations, Mrs. Easton. And we'll let you give your first report as president.
Thank you. Two main things. We did hire an assistant executive director. She is a current sitting superintendent, but she also worked with another IU prior to being the superintendent. So she will be joining us July 1st. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be good to have both the superintendency, but also experience with an IU or previous IU. So she will be giving us a lot of good information. We also did hire someone for the Director of Human Resources. That position had been vacant for the last 2 or 3 months. The person was appointed. She was assistant director to Human Resources, so we were able to move her up and turn into director. So it's good to see that we're, I think we now really have a solid cabinet, we have a solid executive director, assistant executive director, so we're moving forward in the right direction, and I'm just really looking forward to about all of them. We also did, which I might as well just flow into the next
sure.
thing, we did approve the general budget for the IU, and I did talk about this briefly in our December meeting. Our contribution will be decreasing by $11,311. Now, if you remember correctly, this is the small budget that we approved. This is the only budget that we approved. And it's basically the budget, what is made up of this budget is the overhead. And it's, if you look through, it's attached, it explains the different areas. So we have the educational technology, human resources, educational services, administration, and business services. So basically, it's what it takes to run the IU on the administration portion. So this is the part that we need to vote on as a school district. It's a very small portion of what our cost is for the IU. The other budget, which is the special ed budget, we don't vote on it because it's a flow-through budget. What it costs to run it is what is charged to the districts. So I know that it's confusing, and every year we, you know, struggle with why it is that way. But so I recommend I will be when we put forward to this that, you know, we approve this new budget. And if anyone has any questions.
Any questions? Congratulations again. Thanks for all your efforts and hard work. The calendar of board events is attached for your review, as are the conference requests. And now is the time for any board comments or correspondence.
Well, I was waiting for this one. You all know my respect, but I have for Dr. Dyer and appreciation, and we're already 16 days into the new superintendent, and we've already had a lot of head-to-head issues where I was included on with Loganville Springfield, so I already have a great respect for the new approach that Josh is taking, and what I'm about to do, I have now learned after 8 years as an employee referred to as a LIGO moment. I wanted to take a quick moment to share my appreciation for the superintendent transition from the search, the appointment, the overlap, the send-off, and the fresh start. It was a great process and the right solution for Dallas County. In particular, I want to thank those involved with planning and participating in the Winbridge event. It was a terrific time to reflect and appreciate a good man and a faithful steward. Don't get me wrong, I've attended festivities celebrating the departure of a Dallas County superintendent, but this was the first time he was actually in attendance. It was a great night for Dr. Dyer and for Dallas County. I also want to share my participation in the mandated training for re-elected board directors this past weekend. I appreciate the need for this reorientation requirement. It was good to network and revisit issues other districts face and allowing us to break out of our individual home district bubbles. The format, however, was limited as it was clear that the goal focused solely on the 3-hour lecturing experience and certificate achievement. There was no time in session for question or clarification. The current trend topic of trauma-informed approach planning was clearly the focus. While I'm grateful for this forum and received a better understanding of the sensitivity required and meeting the needs of the affected students. However, the approach, just like a lot of the other things we face, was solely reactive, open-ended, and unfunded. The entire presentation was awareness, identification, and accommodation. There were no remedies. There were no prevention strategies, such as personal responsibility, good citizenship, or development of a personal moral compass to finally break some of these cycles. We as a board have discussed previously the topic of possibly doing our own advocacy and holding special topic community workshops. I know we have a full agenda keeping our downtown operations running. However,
and we have our own budget pressures to provide resources to our students. But these pressures will only be compounded if the remedies of these rising social ills are borne by our education system and not our legislature. Perhaps it's time to allow agenda time, or perhaps public presentations and roundtables co-produced with our representatives to inform our community better. We have to start communicating these indirect operational issues that we face and the financial decisions they may force. Thank you.
Any comments? I guess we don't have the power to pass a motion that requires our state legislatures to take required training. Any other board comments? Okay. Second and final opportunity for public comment. If anyone has a comment, please come forward. Seeing none, the meeting's adjourned.